Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shaney, and this is the Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this.
Hello, Leadershifters, and welcome to another episode of the Leadership Show with yours truly, Shaney. And it is my pleasure today to introduce you to our guest, Carolyn Hudson. Say a quick hello, and then I'm going to absolutely deluge you with accolades.
Thank you so much. I mean, Shaney, this is great. Thank you. I am a longtime listener of your podcasts and watcher of your video series, and just there's so many synergies between what you do and what I do. And so this is really a true pleasure. So thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. So Leadershifters, Carolyn and I actually go way back to my New York 1.0 days in the 90s. And we're both Florida girls. And initially, we're both raised in Florida and somehow ended up in the big bad city. But more importantly and relevant for the podcast, we have a pretty similar background in transforming corporate cultures. We've come at it from different places, but we really, a lot of times, end up working on the same types of engagements. So just to give you a little bit of Carolyn's CV, she was a senior leader in the global change management practice at Accenture Consulting for a long time. And in general, she's worked with, you name the Fortune 500 company, it's a who's who. Let me just consult my list here. ExxonMobil, Coca-Cola, Levi's, Anheuser-Busch, J&J, UPS, Delta, etc. Working on culture transformation projects, M&A, you know, when you're combining companies into a single culture, there's lots of work to be done. And her specialty in all these engagements is communication. And today we're going to focus specifically on internal communication. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, it's obviously an area of expertise, but also it's very relevant today in the era of COVID. It feels like a lot of organizations are paying attention to their external communications, right? We support Black Lives Matter. We're changing our hiring practices, et cetera, and telling the world about what they're doing. And yet they're ignoring some of the important things that they need to be doing internally, both around COVID and racial injustice and every other topic that is important for internal customers, i.e. your employees.
Yep.
Okay, so with that background, folks, let's get right into the questions because Carolyn and I have a lot of things that we want to discuss for your benefit today.
Great. Thank you, Shaney. That's awesome. Great intro. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you're the one who's accomplished all those things. So, so Carolyn's joining us from her apartment in Manhattan, where she has recently finally come off of, you know, quarantine because New York is opening back up. And so
coming back. Yep. Coming back.
And I am coming to you from my temporary living situation in Boulder, Colorado. Maybe you can see my little climbing wall behind us. So the first question I want to ask you, Carolyn, is you've said something a few times, and I want to drill down into it and have you explain what it means for communication experts or even novices, quite frankly, who are or leaders and their communication is important. So it's the moment of truth for internal communications.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say that?
Yes, absolutely. And so I think it really is. Like, I think internal communications is really having its day. And I'm forever employee-centric, so everything I talk about today is going to be focused on employees. But I think the best way to answer this is maybe thinking about kind of communications then versus now.
Okay.
And I think that even, you know, a few years ago, communications was seen as just another function. So it was just another function in the company, such as, you know, IT or HR. I had a client actually say to me at one point, I was doing a team optimization session with she and her communications team. And she said, I just feel like a vendor. And I thought, wow, that's really, you know, that's not what internal communications, you know, communication should be. So I really think it's having its day. I think that that internal communications should be and is and will be a strategic partner to the business. So that's one thing. Have a seat at the table. Yeah. And then the other thing I think is so important right now during this crisis is that HR works closely with IT. IT works closely with public affairs. Public affairs works closely with internal communications. I think that they need to work seamlessly. And I think in the past there might have been sort of a Hatfields and McCoy situation.
You probably right. Wouldn't have that, right? Hello, mixed messages.
Yes, exactly. And it's like hard to get, you know, it's hard to get sort of that calendar or that roadmap of what our message is going to be and then getting everybody marching to the same, you know, same beat. But so that's why I think it's having its day. And I also think I've been so impressed with companies and CEOs sending out heartfelt messages to their employees. I mean, you look at somebody like Gary Burnison, who's the CEO of Korn Ferry, who's writing a series of blogs that are extremely personal, like to his employees and his customers. And then you've got somebody like Brian Chesky from Airbnb, who is truly writing from the heart. And I think that that's where we are right now. And transparency and authenticity with regard to communications is table stakes. That's like a given. Whereas in the past, there was corporate speak coming down from leadership. Never was there, you know, rarely was there kind of a what's in it for me, for employees, or what do we need to do with this information? And so I think that we're seeing that like a lot more and more. So it's getting its just due, I guess I would say.
Right. Well, and what you're saying is it's okay to be personal and vulnerable, and which is the antithesis of what they used to teach in, you know, being a good leader school, right? Is, you know, you need to keep your distance and don't let anybody know anything about you personally. And and it's not like we're now encouraging leaders to share their deepest, darkest, most intimate secrets, but we are saying, show your humanity.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is a time where we're all feeling exposed. There's so much change and uncertainty, and that brings out fear, and people want to feel like there's a community, including their leaders, not except for their leaders. Yeah?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, leaders, they're not necessarily born orators. They're not necessarily journalism majors, right? So, I mean, I think that, and that keeps me in a job, by the way. So that's
right.
But I do think that another thing that I've seen, which is fantastic, is that in the past, there have been communications written by leaders that are sort of gobbledygookly about business plans and da-da-da-da, and it just drones on, and it's just lengthy, and, you know, nobody reads that. I think now it's about simplicity of message. And I think now it's about, you know, getting the, it's kind of like just the facts, like right away. What do I, as an employee, what's in it for me? What do I need? What are you asking of me? And then further, how do I provide feedback to you? So that's a whole other, you know, component. You've got to give, especially now, employees to have an outlet to give feedback about how they're thinking and feeling these days.
Absolutely. You've got, there's so many things that I want to say to the things you just said, but let me see if I can start with one of them and remember the others. So I just learned about an app that I'm super excited about that uses artificial intelligence to be constantly soliciting feedback from employees. So it's anonymous, and the artificial intelligence takes all of the data that it gets from asking a few simple questions to employees regularly across the organization, and takes the themes and presents them to management so that they can respond to them or pivot from them or clear up any misconceptions. And it also helps identify top performers who are at risk of leaving that organizations can be proactive about retaining them instead of making last ditch efforts after they've already, you know, accepted another job offer. So that's one thing just of interest.
Yeah, and just one thing, go ahead. I was just going to respond to that real quick about about, so I think that the technology that you're talking about, I think, is super important right now. I think that kind of in the past, it's been all about that employee satisfaction survey, right? It's like that annual employee satisfaction survey. Like, we got to get those results. And I think that, you know, now what we're pivoting to, as you were saying, is pulsing more often, getting better feedback. And then the thing about it is, though, with feedback, it's only as good as if you act upon it. So if you're asking employees questions about how they're thinking and feeling, and you're, you know, condensing and codifying that information, you need to let them know what you're doing with it or about it. That's
absolutely
the key.
Absolutely.
Sorry, you know,
and the thing that the piece about pulsing it more regularly is so key, because when companies are do engagement surveys once a year, that's a moment in time.
Yes.
And you know, if someone's just come off a bad day or a negative interaction, that can color their results. And then it gives a picture of an entire year that isn't accurate. And you get enough people who are off their game the day they answer the engagement survey, and the results are frankly bullshit. So I love the idea of taking the pulse, you know, literally, like, because your pulse today is going to be different than your pulse tomorrow after you've just run 10K or, you know.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, also to build on that is pulsing every level of the organization.
Yep.
So from that, you know, hourly worker on the manufacturing line all the way up to corporate, to leaders, to managers, you've got to get like a full picture. It can't just be. And so anyway, I'm a huge believer in like looking at all audiences and segmenting them. And
absolutely.
So
another thing that I'm sort of backing up a little bit, but it relates to what we're just talking about. One of the first things you said is you're employee centric all the way. And I can imagine that some people listening might say, oh, why are you employee centric? We should be customer centric. And I'm sure you have an answer to that. And I would love to hear it, because obviously, you know, I have a point of view on that as well. But go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. So I think, so for me, employees are your greatest asset. Mm-hmm. And so these days, employees are all, they all have megaphones. They can all either make or break your company, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about like building that brand and building that advocacy and making fans out of employees. And if employees are not happy, or they're not feeling communicated to, or they're not bought into the core values of the company or the brand, then I don't feel like they can serve customers, you know, efficiently and you know, extraordinarily. So I think that, I mean, that's why I say that it's that I'm employee centric, because I really think it starts there. And I will say it's interesting. I worked on a number of mergers and acquisitions over the past few years. And when companies are sitting down at the table and talking about merging, they're talking a lot about risk management. They're talking a lot about the numbers.
Oh yeah, the synergies and where can we cut, and where can we combine supply chain strengths, blah, blah,
Exactly, you got it. And it's like the bankers sitting at the table, like talking about it. But now I think what I'm seeing with my clients and what we'll see more of is assessing employees as an asset, as a non-financial asset.
Absolutely.
So that's just going to become part of that conversation. So,
So folks, just to wrap that up in a bow with a simple statement, if you take care of your employees, they will take care of your customers, right?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So change management is part and parcel, not just of M&A, as you were just talking about, but really everything in this frequently evolving, fast-paced world that we live in. So just give us a quick sense of what you see companies doing well, or where they're making mistakes with their communication strategy within the context of change management.
Yeah. So I think, so two things. One is change management really means managing change. So it's, it seems, you know, evident, but really it's like about managing change.
Instead of letting change manage you.
Yeah. Yes. There you go. And I think that, you know, any company going through a transformation, whether that's a change in leadership, whether that's rolling out a new process or product, whether that's creating new initiatives they need to roll out to the organization, I really think that these days, if you look at a communications team, an internal comms team, you've got to have that change management experience as well. I really think that gone are the days of just communications team looking for great writers or a great digital strategist, or I think now you've got to have that change management, because that's when communications really comes into its own, and that's where the glory is communication steps up and helps with those transformations. And I've gotten, it's been interesting, just in the past, like literally the past, I would say maybe 2 or 3 years, the buyer for change management services has historically been like a chief communications officer or a chief HR officer, right? Like that's who hires for a consultant services. Now it's a CEO.
That's great.
It's great. I mean, the CEO is now understanding that you actually have to manage change. And I don't want to, you know, I do want to say that internal communications is not the panacea. So it's not going to solve all the, you know, all the ills of the world. It takes the communication team working in tandem seamlessly with the other functions of the organization and working as a team on transforming that company. So transformation, like who owns transformation? Who owns change management? Everybody.
Right.
Everybody does.
Right. And so to your point, the C-suite can't come up with a new strategy or a new go-to-market tactic that isn't good and expect communications to put lipstick on the pig, right? It's right.
Yeah, but they yes, what they do, but they do. that's the thing they do. And I think that sometimes, you know, and again, it's kind of that then and now. I think that they throw a strategy over the wall or an initiative over the wall and say like, yeah, here it is, build it, they will come. Like hope they read about this. Like it's not, it can't be that way anymore. You know, it has to be a situation where, again, like that CCO or that internal communications team has a seat at the table, that they have an editorial calendar or a calendar of events for that company. They have a narrative. They have key messages that they need to. So in other words, it's getting much more strategic. It's not just throwing it over the wall and like, hey, send out a couple emails about this. That's not where we are.
Right. You know, so let's follow that road back a little bit in terms of strategy and foundational and making sure that the communications team has good subject matter and thoughtful strategy to work with in the first place. And you know, you and I we're sort of like culture geeks, and I guess we shouldn't be afraid to admit that.
Yeah.
And you know, we've sat many a night on one of our couches with a glass of wine talking about corporate values and
yes, we have. Indeed. Yes.
So let's share some of our thinking on that. So let's just take an example situation where a company has had the same values for 80 years or 40 years or whatever the time frame is, and they're either out of date, they no longer resonate, they're phrased in a way that isn't accessible and doesn't really mean anything. So if you were in an ideal world to be invited into the, you know, you as in comms folks, invited into the whiteboard space where you guys are going to revamp or recreate some new values, like what process might you lead them through? What questions might you ask them?
Yeah, I mean, that's so, I love this. And yes, we are geeks about culture and core values. And we have talked about this. So I think, I mean, listen, creating core values for a company or a value proposition or a purpose statement is hard. Like that's hard stuff. It's not often created in a vacuum. Yep. It needs to be, in my opinion, very inclusive. So you're including employees, you're doing focus groups, you're coming up with, you know, who are we as a company? Why did you join us? Those are some great questions. Who do we stand for? How do we want to interact with our customers? But I think that, you know, in the past few years, I've worked with many clients on developing core values. And this is something where it can tend to get diluted in the process with regard to creating core values, because it starts out with the employees, kind of goes up the chain, gets to leadership, and they kind of, you know, hem and haw about, that word's not quite right, or, you know. So things tend to get diluted. So such things as like collaboration, innovation, passion, care for our customers, customer-centric.
Wake me up when you're done.
Exactly, like customer-centric, all that. And then they spend all this money like launching, you know, these beautiful core values and creating all the swag and all the, it's like a big launch, but it really doesn't define what the company, who they are and what they do. I had a client recently who, I just went through this with them, was creating their core values. And I was so proud of the client that one of their core values was courage. Mm-hmm. And like, that was new for me. Like that, like the collaboration, like, but like courage, and then you have to think about how does that show up every day?
Right.
What are the behaviors associated with courage? You know, what does that look like? But I was so thrilled and that they thought of that. And then, you know, to your point, I mean, these days I would sit down with the client and I would really ask them, are your core values working for you? Mm-hmm. How do you know? Are you attracting the right talent? Is your narrative tethered to your core values? And is this an opportunity during this time of crisis that we really take a hard look at ourselves and think about things such as diversity, inclusion, sustainability? Mm-hmm. If companies aren't talking about that or including that in their core values, they're going to be left behind. They're going to be like dinosaurs. They have to.
Right. You know, it's funny that we're talking about this because I just updated my values, and my favorite newest value is embrace abundance.
Yes, I love that.
And as I fleshed it out, it started to just grow and grow and mean so many things. Like it means abundance in, you know, relationships, abundance in financial matters, like abundance in the competitive landscape. There's enough to go around. Abundance in creativity, like in not settling for a mediocre idea. Like there's more abundant ideas out there. And, you know, as I started to make some notes about what embrace abundance means to me as the leader of the Leadership Project, I had so much fun with it.
Yes.
And I feel like as I onboard somebody new, I'm in the process of hiring somebody, like I'm so excited to like introduce the organization with that new value.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And like Shani, just you as a person, like you embrace that as a person. Like that's part of who you are, part of your life. And so I think that automatically that will transfer to your company. And I mean, you truly believe it, like it's your brand. I mean, it's not just, they're not just words etched in stone. Like that's who you are, that's your brand. It's inspirational and aspirational, which I think is beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. Yeah. That's great. Cool. And I would add something that I saw recently. A company, I looked at their core values, and one of their values was don't be a jerk.
Love that.
I was like, brilliant. Yes. Like that's great. And they're, you know, a little edgy and, you know, what have you. But I think that ilk, I think needs to be really looked at.
Yeah. And it's okay to be edgy. Like just because you're a Fortune 500 company doesn't mean you have to be staid and boring. I mean, I get that there are, you know, certain standards to uphold, but it doesn't mean you have to be boring. So let's imagine there's some CCOs listening to this and they're finding that the values that have been landed on after this great effort to engage multiple constituencies and get all these ideas are coming back to something kind of bland and staid. Mm-hmm. What can the CCO say or ask to make another effort to breathe some life into the values?
I love that, like breathe some life into the values. Like that's brilliant. That's like, that's exactly what needs to happen. And I mean, I guess the first question would be, How did you develop them? So how did you create them, right? Was it an inclusive process? Did it come down from on high, from leadership? So how were they created? Are they working for you? And then you would look at a number of factors as far as everything from recruitment to retention to satisfaction. So are they working for you and how do you know? And then I would say, are they aspirational, inspirational, or where you are right now? And that's like a question that really companies need to, and I would argue the point of being, you know, inspirational and aspirational, right, for your core values. But the other thing that I would talk about is that core values are only as good as the behaviors that are associated with them, right?
Yep.
So you can have the core values written on a poster or on hats or what have you, but it's the behavior that core value elicits. And then you get into performance management, and that's how employees are, looked at from a merit standpoint. Are you living the core values? So I'd have that hard conversation, and I think that what I might get back is, Carolyn, we've worked so hard on these. That would be one. Or we've had these for 10 years. Like, they're working for us. Like, we have these for 10 years. And so I think it's a conversation to be had, but it's not just internal communications at the table, human resources, IT, public relations, public affairs. They all need a seat at that table to talk about, are the core values working, and leadership, executive leadership.
Right, right.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And then I think it can become a discussion where then the CCO or the comms person who maybe started to lead the conversation doesn't have to just have the spotlight on them, like, right, that you're questioning the results.
Yes.
Everyone
yes.
can weigh in. Yeah, I love the collaborative approach.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think that where core values often fail is if it's seen as being owned by HR.
Right.
Like, human resources owns the core values. They created it. No, I mean, that it can't be viewed that way. Core values are developed by everybody, and they're embraced by everyone, and they're
yep.
performed on a daily basis by everyone. So that's
yep.
where I'm coming from. Yeah.
And it's easier and easier to see the behaviors or lack thereof.
Yep.
As you said, you know, with the virtual megaphone that anyone in the company can have now, given, you know, the
Correct.
Internet and social media.
That's
so,
right.
And speaking of which, in terms of right now, I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about how internal comms has shifted a little bit during the era of COVID. You know, how have the channels shifted? How has the tone shifted, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think definitely as you well know, it's like all about remote working right now. I mean, there are companies that are coming back. There are companies that are talking about bringing, I think I just read something about Netflix. The Netflix CEO said, we're all going to go back to the office. And, you know, that's great. I mean, so that's happening, right? But then there's the remote workforce, and how do you continue to encourage commitment to your company when you're not walking the halls every day? So I think there's pros and cons. I mean, the pro to remote working and to something like this, like we're doing with Zoom, is that I do feel like people speak up more than they would if they were at a table in a scary boardroom on the 32nd floor,
mm-hmm.
where I do feel like it's almost like a great democratizer in a way,
mm-hmm.
because everybody can share kind of their thoughts. Everyone kind of gets a seat at the table. But I think also there's something to be said for walking the halls and those hallway conversations that used to take place 6 months ago. That's when a lot of problems get solved. Clients get, you know, solution, there's solutioning that's talked about. But I mean, to your point though, just to put a finer point on it, is that it's not going away. Like, virtual work, this is where we are, right? And so I think that being pithy, being simple, there's a great quote by Einstein, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough.
Right.
And so I think it's like enough of the gobbledygookly, like use the time wisely that you have for a team meeting. Really agenda it out ahead of time. And then I would say also shake it up. Like, I mean, there is such a thing as Zoom fatigue.
Yes.
You know that, right? So it's like, shake it up. Maybe a conference call then, you know, you've got a Zoom call, then you've got another conference call. But it's the future. It's the way of the future. But you've got to get simple, and you've got to be inclusive. Yep. You've got to ensure that everybody's voice is heard. And again, like, you can't hide. You're not in the boardroom at the end of the table, kind of leaning back where people can't see you. Like, you're right there. So it gives you kind of an opportunity, but also an accountability.
Right. Okay. And then, so in terms of channel, pretty obvious, there's more virtual channels going on, whether it's Zoom or the other internal collaboration channels that leaders need to pay attention to. And then the tone, you're saying, you know, simple, you know, on point, so we're not wasting people's time. You know, it's sad that it takes a pandemic to get people to think about that, because honestly, those should be best practices. Even if we're in the office, we should simplify and we should be clear on our agendas, and we shouldn't be wasting people's time.
Yes, no, I totally agree. And it's like, it's sort of come down to, in a strange way, it's come down to like the basics. Like, it's like, now we're in a place of like, what are the fundamentals? Like, what do we need to get across? Like, things are, there's a finer point being put on things. Are you seeing that? Whereas before, there was just messages and channels and formats coming in from all different. And now it's a little more, we need more focus.
Yeah, I'm definitely finding people are taking the opportunity in working from home to figure out the productivity puzzle, because they have a little more control over their own time, and they're noticing how they're spending their time, whether they're spending it on lower value administration stuff or high value strategic stuff or something in between, because since they're not in the office anymore, I mean, people still have lots of calls and Zoom meetings, but it feels like for most people, there aren't quite as many like running from conference room to meeting and sitting, you know, on the highway going to Midtown or on the, you know, whatever. So people are, just in my experience with some of my coaching clients and as I socialize with people, there's a real drive to do more with their time, to do more meaningful things with their time.
Yes. Meaningful, I think, is an important word. I think employees are really, you know, what we're hearing is like, don't waste my time.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't waste my time. Meetings, there's no meeting that has to be an hour, by the way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no meeting that has to be an hour. So anyway, I'm back to like pithy, just in time.
Yep.
Clear.
Straightforward.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. So we started off the call and you gave us a couple of examples of CEOs who are doing some good things right now in terms of their messaging. Do you have any other examples? Because what I love about examples is that they're so tangible. And then you know, people are like, oh, I really like that leader. They can go look up the articles after they finish the podcast. So just, do you have any other examples to share about leaders who are like kicking ass right now on the internal comm side?
Absolutely. Well, one springs to mind, and he's on my mind every day because I am in New York City and I am a New Yorker. but regardless of your politics, I won't get into that. But watching Cuomo through this for the past few months has been like watching a masterclass in communication. If he doesn't know the answer, he says, I don't know the answer, but I'll find out. He says it like it is. He tells it like it is. He says the hard things. And he also shares his heart. Like, he's also shared about his own personal experience with this and his children's experience with this, with COVID. And so he's, I would just hold him up. And in fact, I wrote him a fan letter.
You're a Cuomo groupie.
And I just said, like, as a communications professional, I've been so like impressed with just not just you know, he does a briefing every day on TV, but also with the, you know, what he's writing. So I would hold that up as a very poignant of the moment example.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Yeah. Any last words of wisdom you would leave leader shifters with in this day and age around internal comms?
Yes, I mean, I would just say, listen, now is your time. I would say for any of my communication expert colleagues, like now is your time. Now is your time to step up your game. Now is your time to really have a seat at the table. Now is your time to work seamlessly with other functions within the company. Now is your time to speak your truth to the C-suite. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity. I mean, with every challenge, every crisis, this is a real opportunity. And I think communications, it's going to change the game for communications for maybe forever. I mean,
yeah,
a long time to come, for sure.
Yep, let's hope so. Okay, yeah. And last question, how do people reach you if they're interested in chatting more or engaging you in a culture or values recreation process, for example?
I would love that. So LinkedIn's probably the best way. Is I'm in there, I'm Carolyn Hudson on LinkedIn. And
hold on one moment.
Who's that? Is that your sweet kitten?
I have a timer that goes off on my phone every day at 2:00.
Oh, that's great.
To remind me to meditate for 5 minutes.
Oh,
and I didn't have my phone here next to where I'm podcasting to
have I love it.
Quickly shut it off. But you know, hey, that is part of being authentic.
That is part of being authentic. And just, I know, again, like for yourself as a leader and just that you meditate. I mean, listen, I would join your team any day.
Thanks, hon. Anytime. All right. Carolyn, thank you for joining us. And Leadershifters, thanks for tuning in. And just to quickly highlight some of the most important things that we talked about today by way of recap, employee-centric is customer-centric, okay? So put that in your bonnet and meditate on that, okay?
Yep.
Another thing I think is really critical that we touched upon is let's scrap these annual engagement surveys. They're shit, okay? They're a moment in time. They're not representative of trends. We need to be taking the pulse of our employees and all of our employees from the, you know, most entry-level individual contributor all the way up to the CEO on a very regular basis, if not real-time basis, to figure out what's happening and so we can address those things in the moment. Make sure your values are still relevant and on point and that they're inspiring and aspiring, that they're inspirational and aspirational. And please, let's get rid of the dull, boring, staid values. They don't engage people and they don't get people committed to excellence and innovation and so forth. You know, if your values aren't innovative, what makes you think your employees are going to innovate for you?
Yep.
And last but not least, in all of your internal communications, regardless of the channels, the newer ones included, and globally, it's more important than ever to embrace the KISS principle. Keep it simple, straightforward, don't waste people's time. Let's remember that people need their work-life balance, and just because they're working from home doesn't mean we can abuse the privilege of like forever productivity.
Yep.
Okay.
Love
so
it.
You folks know how to reach me, Shaney@theleadershiftproject.com. And you can find me on all of the social media platforms. And until next time, have a great day. Have a great week.
Thanks so much, Shaney.
Thank you, Carolyn.